Good morning, everyone. Look at your faces. Okay. This presentation was prepared in English. So I guess, how many of you understand English? Yeah, okay. Good enough. Okay. Before we get started, I would like to tell you something about the program, the TEFOR program in the teaching of English. This program has been going for 10 years now, continuously. We have been having cohorts, full cohorts, and through this time we have been changing the way we see research. You know, traditionally research has been seen as something big, done in laboratories or by scientific people, but us, teachers. So right now we are changing that. You will see here an experience we have been having for 3 or 4 years now. Andres Felipe and Jean Paul are students, candidates to the program, and they are going to tell you how we have been changing that idea of the researcher in language and basically in education. Jose Orlando is one of the teachers, as I am, and he's going to tell you about the program itself, how it is composed, and how it leads to a project which is made concrete through an article which is published in a research journal or any scientific journal.
Good morning, everybody. Almaceda explained, we both plan for these seminars, and we keep in mind some basic concepts and basic assumptions in the field. This program brings students, teachers, to a different level. And we have designed the program in three different times, three different seminars, which begin with the research foundations. We try to explain to teachers that teaching requires more than coming to the classroom and sharing information with their students or conveying some meaning. Teachers need to go one step beyond. Teachers need to reflect on what they do in the classroom every day. So therefore, in the Research Foundations, which is the first seminar of the cycle, we have different components. When our students, teachers, come to the program, we start by making some reflections on who they are as teachers. In other words, we have to lead some discussion to find why they are teachers, why they do the things they do in the classroom, what informs their teaching practice, how they manage the classroom, what are the key elements for success in the classroom. Something that is very important, and it was mentioned by our vice-rector, is the human aspect. It's very important to understand that we just are not people who deliver information. We need to take into consideration the students as human beings, and also the teacher that is standing in front of the class. We are made of emotions. So are our students. So when teachers have the chance to redefine who they are, the teaching persona, they start setting the ground for future investigation. In other words, when they reflect on what they do every day, the conditions of the school, the Colombian context, the local context, the regional context, they start bringing those ideas to a different level. So we go on another phase, which is some basic reflections on research. We have the stigma or the myths that research is something unattainable. And we try to change that perspective by having a meaningful conversation, a dialogue with teachers, students, and these two gentlemen are an example of that. And we try to redefine some important aspects of the profession. Then we show them some research articles that give them a chance to start thinking on what they can do in the future. They identify the main components of a critical article. They understand or they visualize the jargon that writers or researchers do or have in their academic articles. And then we start thinking of a possible feasible topic for research. Then we continue with the second cycle, which is the research practice, and we start doing some research in a systematic way. We follow a step of a series of guided steps to continue with this research cycle. Here, they have the chance to formulate some projects. They have the chance to think again about their conditions and the needs in the classroom. We don't start from pathologies, like there's a problem per se, but of a situation, something that they encounter in the classroom, something they want to analyze, something they want to know more about it. It's giving all these common topics another sense, another dimension. So they formulate some hypothesis, first a research question, what they want to do, and they formulate a question. Then they have some sub-questions, they have some hypotheses, and we go through phases. We use collaboration and cooperation in our classroom because they engage in a meaningful dialogue in which they exchange ideas of what they are going to do. Why is it feasible or not feasible to continue with that endeavor? And at the end, they really reshape the project. Finally, we have the last, and I'm mentioning this very briefly, the last cycle, which is the research symposium or trabajo de grado, in which they follow some steps that they have proposed in their practice. In other words, they have a project that is well articulated, they define the methodology, they define the population, they define a problem or you know, an idea to explore, they present the tools, instruments they are going to apply to gather the data. Then, with the other students and with the teachers, they discuss some of the problems they have encountered, and they go through the phases of analyzing the data and presenting some preliminary results, and then they start reshaping the final paper that, as Marcela said, normally gets to be published because it follows some academic guidelines. We follow the APA style. We make sure that students understand how important it is to have a well-written article. We have two students I want to share with you their experiences, and they went through the two first phases, and they are in the final phase now, which is about to start the research symposium. But they went through the foundations and the practice, and what we have found, and probably they will share with you, is how they have transformed their ideas on teaching and how they find that doing research is not just collecting information, but a process that enriches the teachers as human beings and that also help them share other ideas with colleagues of the area and gives teaching another dimension. So with you, we have Andres Felipe Munoz and Jean-Paul Mejia. I don't know who wants to start. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. I want to share with you how I could construct the research questions I wanted for my research process. But first of all, I want to thank the Faculty of Education because in the process of constructing the route of research I wanted for my life, beginning from the pre-grade or the undergrade program, dealing with the cognitive and metacognitive processes I wanted to teach or develop my students, I realized that I could take those processes during all my academic formation. But I found a big difficulty when I started to construct the question I wanted to carry out in the countries I'm working now. At the beginning, I had to decide in which context I want to focus my recent question, because I wanted to picture out two different countries, a private school and a public school. And the private school, I could find many technological tools, but low interest from the part of the students. Something very, very different when I'm working in a public school, but not only a public school, a rural public school. In a rural school in which the technology is not very common, not only because the government is just starting in making some investment with the technology, but I realized that the students have a very high level of motivation and interest in dealing with the technology. So I decided to work in the rural school because the interest of the students is major, and unless the technology is not more common there, I found that it was possible to deal with the research, taking into account that I wanted to improve and the language, the second language acquisition in my students through the use of technology. Yes, but can we see the questions? Okay. I know that the process of feedback or the process of retroalimentar, the feedback to the students, is something that we have to do. It's mandatory for teachers. But I found very interesting that when students are able to make feedback to one another, to criticize and to make some comments about the language outcomes the students are making, it was very interesting. And so I decided to make some arrangements in the question, the research proposal. And finally, to take the technology not as the main component of the research, but as an instrument, the technology as an instrument to integrate the feedback component from the part students inside the research proposal. So that is what in the whole what is happening with the research process I'm carrying out.
I want to say something about my questions, that even if they are just three questions, that the first question I had, it was my concern was about the language competence in teachers, Italian and English and Italian teachers. But I want to say something like this: three questions are just a little view of what of my process, because I had like more or less like 20 questions. My first 10 was concerning to language competence. Then I realized that my real concern was not about the language competence on teachers, but about the didactics, about the practices in classes. Because teachers in the language center, they have to take a test to be part of the language center. So that was not real a concern about a real preoccupation about this. So I focus my work or my questions in Italian teachers. But then I realized that Italian teachers, it's a very small group or a small group in the language center, because we are like around 7-8 teachers, Italian teachers. So I refocus this question, and I start including Portuguese teachers, French teachers, Japanese teachers. But what I want to share with you is that, like, at the beginning, I take research as an impossible matter that I didn't have the basis to do it. But then, in the process of my specialization, on my classes of linguistics, my classes of ethics and methodology and assessment, I realized that research is not a very possible thing to do, because we have all the potential in our classrooms, we have all the sources in every student we have, and it's there when we can ask or we can make a good question about the research we want to develop. And it's that, like, my experience in the first symposium we had, that's the first course we have in research foundations.
I'd like to ask you something, Richard. You have been saying that there was, like, an evolution in the way you viewed research, and you have been saying it is not so difficult. But what are the advantages of research in the classroom? Are they, I mean, is it doable? Is it possible? Now that you're just about to finish the process, how do you feel about this? I mean, how do you feel about going to your first study and knowing that you were able to do it? And what is going to change in yourselves as teachers and in the context you work in?
I want to say something. I like to say that at the beginning, as I said before, it was like, research, I take research like this is impossible. Research is just for, like, physics or, I don't know, mathematics. But then I realized that in our classrooms, according to the needs of our contest, according to the needs of our institutions, we can find a lot of topics to research, and they are doable because they refer to something we live every day, we deal every day. So it is not like taking research as that impossible matter, but taking research as our practices in classrooms.
Okay, I think that the most difficult thing in research is constructing a question, because when you start reading the context, or when you do levantamiento del contexto, you find that there are many things you can do, that there are many things you can change, but if you have in your mind something clear that you can do something, not to change the world, as you were saying, Jean-Paul, but you can do something little, but very valuable for your students, you will start changing something. Yes, I learned from my professors, from my teachers in the undergrad program, that if you are you make a research from a second order, yes, not everything is done, that you can continue, you continue in the process. In la investigación de segundo orden, you make, or you have open doors every time. And that's the way I conceive the research process, that I do something, but there are many things to do, and I can go beyond every time. I'm modifying the way I think and I perceive the teaching, and thanks to the seminars, we are taking some different seminars in the process of this postgrad program, and every time we took a seminar, we are reshaping our way to see the teaching and the research process in our setting, in the setting we are teaching.
Before we have a discussion with you, I'd like to show you how the finance. These two students, Jorge Guzman and José Nicolás Atortúa, they took the program and they already graduated. I wanted to share with you the kind of article, what they wrote, and it was published. This was the result of one of the research projects in the TEFL program. And here goes the other one. See, so this is what they did all the way through the three cycles and also the other subjects. Jean-Paul mentioned at the beginning, and I think José Orlando did as well, that we try to have a very continuous and congruent program. So no matter the subject they are taking, they are always focusing on their study. Everything they do, everything they study, everything they read is focused on developing this project. So, hablaré español. Ahora sí. Rápidamente hago un resumen en español y quisiéramos conversar con ustedes sobre esta experiencia. 5 minuticos. En resumidas cuentas, lo que hemos venido haciendo la especialización es cambiar un poco ese imaginario que hay sobre la investigación. La investigación se ve como algo gigantesco, imposible de alcanzar, y aquí hemos visto que realmente sí se puede. Obviamente cada uno en su contexto va haciendo las variaciones necesarias y va adaptando. Nosotros hemos decidido trabajar con investigación en el aula, que es pues lo más apropiado. Con esto hemos logrado crear una conciencia investigadora en los profesores de lenguas extranjeras que han tomado el programa. Hemos creado sobre todo una conciencia de quiénes son ellos como docentes y a partir de quiénes son y en qué ambiente se mueven. Ya ellos han ido a transformar sus propias prácticas y las instituciones donde viven, obviamente no sin antes transformarse ellos mismos como los docentes que son. Entonces quisiéramos, ¿de qué niveles de educación estamos aquí? ¿En colegio? ¿Universidad? ¿De qué otras áreas? ¿Perdón? Escuelas normales. Bueno, ustedes ven que este ejercicio se hizo en lenguas extranjeras, pero a nosotros nos gustaría conversar con ustedes y mirar cómo ven ustedes la posibilidad de hacer un tipo de ejercicio de estos, ya no necesariamente con un profesor, sino que tal con un estudiante. De cualquiera de las áreas creo yo que esto es posible. Entonces, si alguien nos quiere contar o decir algo.
Bueno, buenos días, mi nombre es Jorge Cuellar, soy docente de idiomas a nivel de la universidad. Mi pregunta es que, pues en buena parte, gran objetivo del trabajo de investigación está relacionado con el deseo de publicar y con el deseo también de que haya espacios, revistas científicas para poderlo hacer. ¿Hasta qué punto las revistas científicas dan estos espacios? ¿Hasta qué punto las investigaciones son tan buenas, tan positivas, que pueden desafiar esas publicaciones para ser un poco más abiertas en ese ámbito? Gracias.
Bueno, lo que tú dices es cierto, hay demasiada presión por publicar. Yo quiero hacer una referencia. La mayoría de los programas de especialización no tienen un trabajo de grado como tal, sino que piden monografías. Generalmente este ejercicio de investigación es muy común y lo hemos querido hacer con todo el rigor del caso, precisamente porque nuestra intención es preparar docentes investigadores, que cuando vayan a sus aulas, si no van a hacer una maestría, si deciden no hacer un doctorado, por lo menos puedan como hacer cambios en el espacio donde se mueven y también empezar a compartir sus experiencias. Tenemos muy claro que aquí todos hacemos muchísimas cosas en el aula, pero muy pocos lo compartimos a manera de publicación o en este tipo de espacios. Básicamente los dos artículos que acabé de mostrar, los dos fueron publicados en revistas indexadas. Pero eso obedece a que hemos sido muy rigurosos desde el primer momento con las normas de escritura académica, con el tipo de ejercicio que se hace en el marco teórico de lectura de la teoría y adaptación al ejercicio que estamos haciendo, con el diseño de los instrumentos y obviamente pues ya con el ejercicio de analizar y de darnos resultados. Entonces, La pregunta, yo pienso que todo lo que hacemos es muy válido y es muy bueno y es muy importante, pero tenemos que recordar que hay cierto tipo de normas y esa rigurosidad pienso yo que es la que nos ha faltado un poco. Haciendo ese ejercicio no hemos tenido hasta ahora ningún problema con las publicaciones.
Yo quisiera decir algo al respecto, Marcela. Yo sé que la finalización de este curso da como producto este artículo. Desde un principio que nosotros estamos, o desde que empezamos en la especialización, empezamos con la idea de poder publicar, pero en la medida en que se va atravesando toda la especialización, se va dando uno cuenta que no es el hecho de publicar la finalidad, sino poder hacer la reflexión desde nuestras experiencias en clase, la que hacen posible esa publicación y la validez de ella. Porque cuando nosotros hablamos de nuestras prácticas docentes, estamos hablando de un sinnúmero de cosas que hemos vivido y hemos hecho durante muchos años. Lo digo yo desde mi experiencia, porque esperé mucho tiempo para hacer mi especialización. Pero la conciencia de lo que es un aula y la posibilidad de investigar allí se va dando a medida que vas atravesando como toda la especialización y te van dando los fundamentos y el marco teórico para poder escribir esto. Entonces, el artículo válido, además de desde la rigurosidad de nuestros profesores, que no es poca, entonces ese ejercicio se vuelve válido en cuanto a que para nosotros y para nuestro contexto funciona, y es allí donde adquieres validez.
De ajustar un poquito esta intervención a lo que el vicerrector académico Ramírez decía en asuntos de inclusión y exclusión y en aras de transformaciones, es que nosotros debemos estar muy atentos, porque cuando hay tendencias de hay que publicar, debo dar a conocer lo mío, no solamente debe ser a través de un escrito, ¿sí? O sea, eso no es lo que tiene que pesar para que yo dé a conocer lo que estoy haciendo. Es cuando logro, estoy hablando desde mi punto de vista, es cuando yo logro que alguien, mínimamente un estudiante, ha sido capaz de reflexionarse, de incomodarse por algo. Entonces, he allí donde yo he logrado cierta transformación. Por supuesto, es bueno dar a conocer a través de lo escrito, de las redes sociales, a través de muchos medios. Pero en el asunto en el que yo soy capaz de lograr una transformación, creo que allí viene precisamente una gran difusión del trabajo que he hecho. Qué bueno haber tenido al vicerrector acá, porque me hubiera gustado hacerle una intervención, donde precisamente yo creo que todos, acá los presentes, estamos reflexionándonos. ¿Sí? Estamos precisamente interviniéndonos y procurando intervenir espacios, intervenir sujetos. El asunto de uno considerar si es o no vergüenza, ¿sí? Voy a simplemente ajustar un poco el asunto acá. Y en fin, una cantidad de preguntas que yo hubiera, más bien transformo esta intervención, y es: cuando decimos voy a exponer, de pronto, muy bueno haber conocido las inquietudes para que entonces ustedes, en su presentación de inglés, hubiesen buscado alguna estrategia, porque no sé si todo el mundo acá habla inglés, y a la medida en que ustedes hablaban, hubiesen los demás, quienes no hablan, podido leer mínimamente allí, ¿cierto? Entonces, pienso que esas son las comunicaciones. Es allí precisamente donde entonces yo me voy a conocer. Sí, si estamos hablando de redes, entonces también tengo que darme a conocer previamente.
¿Alguien más?
Quisiera hacer una anotación final, complementar lo que dijo Juan Carlos. A través de la concepción del programa se hace espacio para que el maestro no solamente formule un proceso de investigación, sino que conceptualice su quehacer. A veces tenemos al maestro en la soledad del salón de clase, el maestro que quiere hacer cosas pero que no encuentra respuesta de pronto en algunos colegas, por diferentes situaciones, hablando de exclusión, no sé, de realidades sociales, pero nosotros como lo conseguimos desde el comienzo, cuando se hace una reformulación de la de quién es el maestro como tal, también se le pide escribir una filosofía de enseñanza. Esa filosofía está basada en varios principios o preguntas que guían al maestro a escribir algo, y se le pregunta al maestro sobre cómo él comparte o no comparte lo que él enseña, sus éxitos, sus frustraciones, sus experiencias y sus inexperiencias, y cómo el maestro se liga a otros grupos u otras redes para la diseminación de información y para avanzar en su quehacer, para evolucionar. Tú dijiste algo que me pareció muy interesante y lo vamos a tomar pues como una sugerencia, sin embargo, por eso hicimos inglés-español para poder abarcar y no excluir a la gente. Hubiera sido bueno tener el texto escrito, pero pues agradezco tu sugerencia. De todas maneras, pienso que quedó plasmada la esencia del programa, cómo se ha conceptualizado y cómo esos tres momentos se articulan y fluyen el uno al otro para indagar en el quehacer pedagógico. Pero tiene muchos otros componentes. Marcela tiene algo que decir, de todas maneras yo personalmente le agradezco su participación y su asistencia.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
Agradecemos a los docentes José Orlando Gómez Salazar, Marcela Jaramillo Restrepo, Jean-Paul Mejía Holguín y Andrés Felipe Muñoz por su exposición. En este momento tendremos un receso de 30 minutos. A las 10:30, y esperamos que estén puntuales, reanudaremos nuestra programación con la conferencia Ciberperiodismo y los lugares de la cultura, a cargo del docente Hernando Blandón Gómez. Invitamos al público asistente para que a lo largo de las jornadas creen y recojan sus preguntas e inquietudes, las cuales servirán como punto de discusión en